Good evening, everyone. I'm Karen Ashby, welcoming you to this live event. I'd like to thank everyone for taking time this evening to join us. Tonight, Senator Nikhil Sabal will discuss Real IDs and will take your calls live. Senator Sabal will be joined by Real ID Bureau Director Sarah Baker. Together, they will discuss what steps you can take to apply for a Pennsylvania Real ID. Together, they will answer your questions and offer resources. As a reminder tonight, at any time, if you have a question or would like to join the conversation, please press star 3 on your keypad to participate. So without any further delay, let me welcome State Senator Nikhil Sabal.
Thank you, Karen. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to our telephone town hall. I'm Nikhil Sabal, and it's my honor to represent the people, communities, and lands of the 1st Senatorial District. Our district runs from Kensington and Port Richmond down through Fishtown, Northern Liberties, Old City, Chinatown, Center City, Graduate Hospital, all of South Philadelphia, east of Broad, and all the way down to Eastwick and the airport. I'm so excited to welcome friends and neighbors throughout the 1st Senatorial District to this telephone town hall. I'd like to thank everyone who is taking time out of their busy schedule to participate on tonight's call. Whether you ask a question or just prefer to listen to the conversation, I appreciate your engagement. If you'd like to ask a question at any time during tonight's discussion, press star 3 on your phone. As Karen said, tonight we'll be discussing real IDs, when you need one, and what you need to get one. So if you still have questions after tonight and are interested in applying for the program, please reach out to my district office for more information. Call us at 267-668-3550. That's 267-668-3550. If you're not aware of this program, Real ID is a federal law that was first passed in 2005 after the Federal Commission on the September 11th, 2001 attack recommended that the entire nation standardize how ID cards are issued and in particular what identification documents are required to obtain one. Almost every state department of transportation across the country has had to make some upgrades, so it has taken many years for all states to get ready for these new standards. You've likely seen headlines over the years about when this law would take effect, and you've probably heard of the date being pushed back. But coming up in 1 month, on May 7th, 2025, all 50 states will be officially implementing these new standards. To help navigate the enhanced requirements for a Real ID, tonight we'll be speaking with Real ID Bureau Director Sarah Baker about what documents are needed and where and how to get them. Director Sarah Baker, welcome. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Senator. Thank you very much for having me. And thank you to all of your constituents for joining this call. I really appreciate it. So I will kick it off. Do you want me to go sort of speak a little bit about Real ID? Do that?
Yeah. So, Sarah, if you wouldn't mind just kind of giving an overview of the program.
Sure. So the way the program works is, as it was mentioned by the Senator, is that it was passed, the Real ID Act of 2005. It was passed in relation to the 9/11 attacks. What the point of it was to have driver's licenses nationwide and from the U.S. territory standardized on how they look if you're going to use it for boarding commercial domestic aircraft, military facilities, or certain federal facilities, which I'll mention later what those are. That you would need to have a standardized proof. How that is indicated and marked is by that gold star in the corner. So one of the things I always ask people whenever they're joining these calls or anything like that is to check what's in your wallet. See, you may already have a Real ID. We've been issuing it since March of 2019, and a lot of people did it at the time of renewal and may not even know that they have it. So definitely check your wallets and your purses to see if you may have one already. If you don't have one, and you're going to be flying domestically on a Delta, American, et cetera, you will need a Real ID or another form of identification that's acceptable to TSA, such as a U.S. passport or passport card, to be able to gain access to aircraft. To be able to obtain a Real ID, you will need the following. One proof of identity. Example would be is a certified birth certificate. It's issued by the Office of Vital Records and Statistics. And or, instead, you could have a passport or a passport card as long as it's valid. So those two count as a proof of identity that most people have. Then you're going to need one proof of Social Security. What that's going to end up being is a W-2, a Social Security card. You have a number of different other proofs that we accept. And then two proofs of your residency. That's just going to be your name and your address. We call it the 911 address. If some of you are calling 911, what address would you give for them to physically come to your home? And then you're going to have to have any proof of any name changes that you may have had through the years, whether by the a legal document or a certified marriage certificate or anything into that nature. One of the things I really do want to press is that if you already have a passport or passport card, if you go to TSA's website, www.tsa.gov, they have a list of what you can use in lieu of a real ID. So if you have military ID, you have Department of Defense ID, you have a global card or a Nexus card, there are different forms of identification the federal government has issued that you can use instead of a real ID. In the case you choose to use your passport or you choose to use your passport card, the only thing that we really want to remind customers and constituents is that make sure that you keep it up to date. And you're going to make a new habit in this process where typically you would not take your passport with you to fly to Florida. It's typically for out of the country. In this case, you will need to take that passport for domestic travel. But that is an acceptable form to gain access to aircraft. What you do not need real ID for, so this is a big one, you do not need it to drive. You do not need it to vote. Accepting any kind of hospitals, visiting the post office, federal courts, or to receive federal benefits. So if you were visiting Social Security offices, whether it's to update your name or your account or anything like that, you would not need a real ID to have access to those facilities. You will not need one to go to the United States Capitol. You do not need one for the Smithsonian or national parks or anything of that nature. It really is limited to commercial domestic aircraft, so flying domestically, military bases, and when they throw in the word federal facilities, what they are referring to is nuclear power plants. Most would think that you would already have a identification card that meets a higher threshold than a driver's license or a real ID to gain access to a nuclear power plant, but that's the level of a high security, high risk type of facility. So those are the type of federal facilities that they're putting into that listing. So once again, you don't need it for your everyday. You do not need a real ID to do anything in the Commonwealth. Pennsylvania is an optional state. We are not mandatory. You are not mandated to get a real ID. We actually have that in Act 3 of 2012, which is what enacted us to issue real IDs, 2017, to issue real IDs. And in that, it makes it very clear that Pennsylvania has an optional real ID program that if you choose not to have one, you do not need to have one. If you have an alternative form of identification, you can use that. There is nothing on the horizon of going mandatory or anything like that. It is in law that we're optional. So there shouldn't be any fear about that happening anytime soon. The other thing I would say is that to please check our website or to contact the district offices for the list of other proofs of Social Security and residency that you can use to bring to PennDOT to be able to get a real ID product. And the other thing I would say is to gather your documents and get it now. If you are flying in the month of May or June, if you know that you're going to fly, and you don't have an alternative form, you don't have a passport, then that's when you want to get a real ID. We will be issuing real ID products as part of our normal business. We have been for a long time, so you can easily get it after that May 7th date. So let's say you have a flight planned for October. That means you can easily come in August when the rush has passed. I'm sure people have noticed our lines. They're pretty substantial. That when that rush passes, that you can come in and get it. So it is not something that if you don't plan on traveling anytime soon or flying or anything like that or visiting a nuclear power plant, things of that nature, you can wait until either your renewal or until maybe the summer when the rush passes by. So we don't want anyone to think that we've seen it in the media where it sounds like we are not going to be issuing after May 7th. That is so far from the truth. We will continue issuing real IDs as normal operating procedures, just as we have starting in March of 2019. So it's ongoing. You can get it at any time.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Director Baker. That was a really great and thorough overview of the Real ID program and, you know, sort of where it comes from and how to get a Real ID, what it's for, et cetera. So, you know, on this call tonight, as we're discussing Real ID, I want to make clear that this is, you know, for our constituents. And so as Taryn mentioned earlier, we'll be taking questions from you on this program. And if you'd like to join the conversation and ask a question, all you need to do is press *3 on your phone keypad. So again, that's press *3 if you'd like to be put in the queue to ask a question. And with that, let's dive right in. And I'd love to just go to our first question, Taryn, if we have someone available.
Yes. So, Senator, we're going to go live with Mary from Passyunk. Mary, you are live.
Hi. I'm curious, like, the 9/11 terrorists clearly planned this out. And if I remember correctly, they were originally here legally and overstayed their visas. So, I mean, in reality, how much is this actually going to keep us safe? Like, what's so special about this ID that is going to keep us safe versus just having driver's license? I mean, if they figured out how to forge stuff before, they're eventually going to figure out how to forge this. So it's like...
Okay, so Mary, what I would say is that's a good question. But that is something actually that is more discussed at the federal level because Real ID is a federal act. It's not a commonwealth. So that's what I do want to highlight is that Pennsylvania did not just decide to issue Real IDs. It's actually a federal act that brought this into fruition reality. All that Pennsylvania is offering is a part of an identification or driver's license that has an indicator on it as in the form of the star. That Department of Homeland Security and TSA see as a secure product. And what it means is that PennDOT has seen documents. They have vetted the documents. We have them on file. We have also authenticated them. That star is telling the federal government when you walk into sort of, you see it as a visual line. When you cross into the TSA security checkpoint, you've entered the federal part of the land. You're not in the state side anymore. That this is what they require to be able to fly commercial domestic aircraft. So all we've done as a state, the Commonwealth, is implemented what is required by the state to do so per the Real ID Act. For Pennsylvania residents and citizens to be able to gain access to aircraft, military bases, and to federal facilities that require that level of secure ID.
Thanks, Director Baker, and thanks for the question. I'd just like to remind everyone, *3 is the best way to get, the way to get into the queue. And with that, I'd like to go to our next caller, if we have one available, Taryn, when are you ready?
Yes, so we're going to go live with Margie. Margie, you are live.
Hi. My question was, how much does it cost to get a Real ID?
Great question, Margie. So for you, when you get your Real ID product, and a one-time $30 fee, and we do a renewal transaction. How that works is that the cost of a duplicate product, because we have to generate that star on a product, costs exactly the same right now as to get a renewal. If you are having a renewal, straight vanilla kind of renewal, like I have non-CDL, I don't have any endorsements on it, not motorcycle or anything like that, it's $39.50 for the renewal. So if you add another $30 plus the $39.50, that comes to the $69.50. What we do in that transaction is that we do not just generate a product that has the regular expiration date on it. We take whatever time you have on your license currently. So, for instance, when I obtained my Real ID, I had 2 years left on my license. When I did the transaction and went through it, they added 4 more years to my license. So I walked out with a 6-year product using my photo on file. So when I went to renew just recently, It was good for 6 years. When you renew that product, you're going to renew it the same way you would your standard issuance product. So you're going to do that online through the mail. If you have to go to a driver's license center, you can do the renewal. It's much faster doing it online. There are no extra fees. You do not need to show extra documentation or any new or repeated documentation. You're going to renew it the same way you would before. So it's that one-time $30 fee, and then after that, you're in the program, and there are no fees following it, other than standard renewal rates.
Thanks, Director Baker. So just to underscore the question, there's a standard renewal fee that you would pay if you were just had a normal license renewal, not a CDL, et cetera, and as you described. And then there's a one-time fee for Real ID of 30 in addition to the standard renewal fee of about $39.95. Is that right? And then
I was going to say, if you have a standard product, if you have a CDL license that has numerous endorsements on it, they can become very costly. In those cases, the CDL, they have the option to get a duplicate product. So what they can do is come in, do the one-time $30 fee plus pay the duplicate fee for their product, and they will have the product generated for them. If you have a motorcycle endorsement on your driver's license, you will have to apply that applicable renewal fee. I'm not sure what that is offhand. So it's a $30 one-time opt-in fee, and then whatever the applicable renewal fee is for you, in the example being given is a standard renewal of $39.50, that's what you would pay for that. If you have other endorsements, motorcycle, CDL, then you'll have to pay whatever that renewal fee is. Or in the CDL case, you can get a duplicate instead.
Got it. Okay, great. And then once you pay that fee, the one-time fee, it is literally that, a one-time fee, and you're in the program. And then next, every time you renew your... Okay, great. Thank you. So again, we're taking questions with Director Sarah Baker, who is the Real ID Bureau Director for PennDOT. To answer your questions or to ask your questions, you just press *3 on your telephone at any time. And with that, I'd love to go, Karen, to our next caller.
Yes, Senator, we are going to go live with Nancy. Nancy, your call should be live.
Okay, thank you very much for taking my call. I'm Nancy in Center City. And I was wondering, I have two quick questions. One of them is, what is the difference between the Real ID Center versus a regular driver's license center? And my other question was, when we get the Real ID card, do we need to order a camera card from Harrisburg like we do for a regular driver's license renewal in order to get the photo on our Real ID card? Do we need to bring a camera card?
Okay, I'll take the first one, which is what's the difference between a regular standard issuance driver's license center versus a Real ID center. So in this district, actually, you have two. You have standard issuance, which I can give an example is Arch Street. That is a very highly secure building, but to be able to issue Real IDs over the counter, Homeland Security, we have to build to a specific level of security that has to be integrated into it to be able to do the over-the-counter issuance. So the example of what in your district of what you have is the South 70th Street location, which is near where our former Island Avenue location is. It's close to the airport. That one is built to the security standards required for over-the-counter issuance. If you go to a Arch Street, for example, which is a standard issuance site, when you opt into Real ID, what you're going to do is you're going to get a receipt, and they're going to the opt-in, they'll do the photo on file. You're going to get your product in the mail. It's about 10 business days is what we give as the outside. In 10 business days, you'll get your card in the mail or less than in a centrally issued. Central issuance products through the mail is safe and secure. We do it all the time. We've been doing it for a long time. It's just a different method in which you'll receive your Real ID product. If you go to the South 70th Street location, you will go through that same process, but what will happen is they will print out your Real ID right there at the site and hand it to you same day. There's nothing to be said for it if you do not getting it same day versus through the mail. It's kind of pretty much the same from the standpoint that your record is going to be updated in our system. It's just the way that the card is actually generated. When you renew, you're going to renew the same way you always do, because that star indicator is going to be on your driver's license or identification card. That's where it shows up. So when you renew, you're going to renew as you always have, and you're going to get the camera card in the mail. And when you get the camera card, you're going to take it to a driver's license center to have your photo taken. And if it's a standard center, you'll receive your card in the mail. And if it's at a real ID center, such as South 70th, you'll get it same day. So there isn't anything where there's an abrupt deviation between the two paths, other than one way you're going to get it through the mail and the other one you'll get it same day.
Thanks, Director Baker. Karen, let's go to our next caller.
Okay, so our next caller is Francis. Fran, you should be live.
Oh, hi. Yeah, my name is Francis, and I live in South Philadelphia. They said that you could have a VA identification card. It would have to say VAIC on it. So I went up to called the VA, and they said I would have to go to Veterans Hospital to get a card. So I am a member of the Veterans Hospital, and they did give me a card, a V card. It does say U.S. Air Force on it, but it doesn't say VAIC on it. It just says VA medical healthcare card. So I don't know if that's acceptable.
That's where I would ask you to work with your district office, because they can look it up on TSA's website and find out the exact wording of what's acceptable to have access to that aircraft, just to make sure the wording is right. I do know they take VA cards. I just want to make sure that language is aligning properly.
Thank you, Director Baker. And just to be clear, with what when you were recommending working with the district office, is that specifically with Veterans Administration or?
Oh no, I was saying they could contact your office. They can contact you through the Veterans Administration. I'm sorry about that. TSA.
I just wanted to make sure that I understood that quickly, because I just wanted to provide our contact for our office again. So yes, go ahead.
Yeah, that's what I was just saying, that a lot of these questions lie with TSA, that if you guys can actually look at the card and get an image, you might be able to dig a little bit deeper, and certainly contact us if you need help with that. But what we really do is we leave that sort of on TSA's doorstep, because what they allow for boarding aircraft is also based on policy. So the VA cards were not previously, and then they added them to the list. So that's why we always tell people to keep an eye on that list to see what's added to it. They may add additional items to that that's acceptable to have and move a real ID.
Fantastic. So, Francis, what I'd recommend then is if you reach out to our district office, you can call us at 267-668-3550, 267-668-3550, and we can take a look and just kind of make sure and check the status of your ID and its acceptability. So please do reach out to us. With that, Karen, I'd love to go to our next caller, if they're available.
Of course. As a quick reminder, if you'd like to ask a question on this call, please just press *3 on your telephone at any time. We're going to go live with Carol from South Philadelphia. Carol, you're live.
Thank you. My name is Carol. I live in South Philadelphia. And my first question applies to, you had mentioned a website earlier, but you didn't advise what the website is. So if you could just, and if I missed it, I do apologize, but I need to hear the website. Also, the second question pertains to the DOT locations. Since I'm in South Philadelphia, of course, ours is on Oregon Avenue, and the past couple of Mondays, they surprisingly were open when ordinarily they're closed on Sundays and Mondays. So will the local DOT offices be open on Mondays now for a while? And if so, what hours?
Yes, that is. So I'll attack the hours in the site. So that is something that we did launch, and we call them Real ID Mondays. And we were scattering them throughout the state in the beginning at high traffic locations where we were open between 10 and 2. And that was to help pull in some of the customer volume. And it's real ID transactions only. We don't do any of the other ones. Beginning next week, so that would be the 7th, we will be hosting Real ID Mondays in all of our driver's license centers. So that what that means is they're going to be open all day from the 8:15 to 4:15, where they're going to be doing is Real ID transactions. That will be available. They'll be open on the 7th, the 14th, and the 28th. On the 21st, because it's the day after Easter, we would not be holding a Real ID Monday to give them a weekend. And then we'll also have it on the 5th of May. So we will be fully operational in all of those sites and processing Real ID transactions only. If they were to do this further, it'll be reassessed. But for right now, up until the May 7th deadline, we'll be handling that. Our website, what I would do is go to PennDOT's website with Real ID on it. So it is PA.gov/RealID. And you'll be able to go directly to our Real ID page. You can also, if you need to, if you didn't write that down, you can Google PennDOT Real ID, and it will take you straight to that web page as well. That's where it lists all the information. But yes, thank you for bringing that up about the Real ID Mondays. We are very happy and proud to be offering those to better serve customers, particularly in this time of high, heavy traffic volumes.
And then, Director Baker, I think another part of the question was the best website to go to for people who wanted information about Real ID.
That's the www.pa.gov/RealID.
Fantastic. Great. Thank you. I just, one thing you mentioned, and I just want to underscore it. I know you've already said it, but I think it's just worth underscoring. May 7th date, and you mentioned this before, but that date is when the enforcement begins for Real ID. But to be clear, you can continue to get, you can apply for and get a Real ID after that date, correct?
Correct.
Great. Yeah, I just want to make sure that everyone is aware that, you know, this is, while this, the enforcement begins after that point, you know, we have, it's for these domestic flights and things like that, you can continue to apply, and our office is going to be continuing to help people access their Real IDs and ensure that they're getting connected to PennDOT. Again, we're speaking with Director Sarah Baker from the Real ID Bureau Director at PennDOT. If you have questions to get into the queue, please press *3. And I'd love to go to Taryn, to our next caller, whenever they're available.
So we're going to head over and go live with Yang from Philadelphia.
Hello. Hi, this is Yang from Philadelphia. Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate you guys hosting this information session. My question, I hope it's straightforward. So how do I know if I have a Real ID?
Oh, if you currently have a Real ID, take your driver's license or identification card. You can pull it out of your wallet right now, and if you look at it, if you see a gold star in the upper right-hand corner, then that means you have a Real ID. If it reads across and otherwise not for Real ID purposes, that means you do not have a Real ID.
Thanks, Sarah. That's straightforward. Taryn, let's go to our next caller.
Okay, we're going to go to caller Resna from Philadelphia. Resna, you are live.
Hello, good evening. I'm from Eastwick, Pembroke International Airport. I'm asking, I have a birth certificate, it's in one last name, but I have a driver's license already in my social is in the same last name. So would I be able to get a Real ID? Have any problems?
So just to clarify, your birth certificate, the name on your birth certificate is the same as the name on your Social Security and your two proofs of residency?
Sarah, I believe she cut out, but I believe she said that the names were different.
Okay. So if the name is different, that means there was a name change that took place in there. So that can either be a legal action that was taken, a decree from the standpoint from the courts where someone changed their name from their birth name to a new name, or likely it's a marriage certificate. When people are married, they will take the name, pull it through. So what they would need to have is showing that document in between, because we have to, what we call is following the bouncing ball. We have to follow the ball from the birth certificate name, what that name is. So let's say Jane Doe. We have to be able to follow that all the way through. So if the person, if my name is Jane Smith and my birth certificate says Jane Doe and my proof of Social Security has Jane Smith on it, it's going to tip the driver's license center off that, okay, there's been a name change. So what I would have to provide is something that links the Doe to the Smith, and that's typically a marriage, certified marriage certificate. That's issued by the clerk of court, that's issued by the precentor, register of wills, it's done by the county office. What you would do is you obtain that certified marriage certificate. It can't be signed by a justice of the peace or clergy. It has to be that legal document. And it will see, in my scenario, it would show where it went from Jane Doe, I married someone, Mark Smith, that you would see Doe going to the last name Smith, which then matches up with my Social Security card and my two proofs of residency. So you can follow that, as we call it, the bouncing ball between the different names with that connecting name change document, and then I can then obtain my real ID with that. So if you've had one name change or multiple, all of you have to bring in the multiple documents so we can see that go through the process, meaning all those names bounce to the next one. One of the things that if you have a United States passport, a valid one or passport card, if you bring that in and it has your current legal name on it, and let's say I was married before, but my passport has my current legal name on it, Jane Smith, my Social Security card says Jane Smith, and my two proofs of residency say Jane Smith on it, I do not need to bring in that birth certificate or any proof of name change. That's already done by what the passport is showing, which is considered to be a legal identity document that we are allowed to accept and build the name off from there.
Terrific. Thanks, Director Baker. Again, we are taking calls with Director Sarah Baker from the Real ID, the director of the Real ID Bureau for PennDOT. If you have questions, you can press *3. And I'd love to go to our next caller, Taryn.
Of course. We are going to go live with Debbie from Center City. Excuse me. Debbie, you are live.
Okay, hi. So I have a question about the proof of residence. Let's just say you have that you're a full-time student, and you're not working, and you live with your mom, and you don't have a lease, and you're not a driver. So how do you prove where you live?
Great question. One of the many ways is anything that's gone through the U.S. Postal Service. So if an Amazon package has been sent to you, or a mailer or a letter or anything like that, particularly the Amazon package, you can just take the front off of the packaging. We'll see how it went through the U.S. Postal Service. That's a proof of residency. If an individual can also bring in, typically a minor or someone who doesn't have those other proofs, a school letter can be on the letterhead, or it can even be the corner of a report card where it has this school, has the individual's name and address. There can be a letter written on the medical letterhead of doctor's office saying that this person, this name, lives at this address. We accept those different proofs as well. So typically a lot of the times what we'll see is people bringing in different packages from Amazon or UPS or something of that nature that has their name and their full address on it for those who do not have the utility bills, et cetera. They need to bring in two proofs, and that definitely meets the threshold.
Thanks, Sarah. I know that that's been a common question that people have had, so I appreciate that answer. Taryn, I'd love to go to our next caller.
Our next caller is Ellen Marshall. Ellen, you are live.
Hi. Thank you both for this important meeting. I have a neighbor. She's 82, and apparently she's lost her Social Security and having difficulty getting a new card. And then if she has to go to the PennDOT agency, there's long lines, and people are standing online for like an hour and a half. And, of course, she doesn't have Internet. So is there some other way to that she can work that given those difficulties?
Well, as the Real ID regulation requires everyone to apply in person. You can't upload your documents or email into it if you have to apply in person. That's in the regulation. Regarding the Social Security card, she can get a replacement. I don't know if you can help with that, or actually she can go to the senator's district office and help them. They'll help her, I'm sure. Just order a replacement card on www.ssa.gov. That's the Social Security website, where you can order a duplicate card and they will mail it to you for free. She can also look to see if she has any 1099 forms or any form of pay stubs or anything like that that has her full Social Security number on it, all 9 digits, and her name. Those are the other things that we'd have to see. But her best bet may be working with the senator's office and trying to obtain a replacement card through online website.
That's right. Director Baker, and Ellen, what I would recommend is that please, if you wouldn't mind connecting your neighbor with our office, we'd be glad to help her. Again, our office, we have two district offices in South Philadelphia and North Philadelphia, but we'd recommend that she reach out to schedule an appointment, and we're at 267-668-3550, 267-668-3550. We'd love to help out. So please do ensure that we get connected. Let us go now. Again, I just want to note that if you have further questions, we can go to you can press *3 to get in the queue. I'd love to go to our next question though, Taryn.
Absolutely. So we're gonna go live with Mercedes from Center City. Mercedes, you are live.
Hi, thank you for the program. But my question is this. The Real ID is nationwide. Am I correct? Or is it just Philadelphia?
No, correct. It's all U.S. states and territories.
Okay. So then when the director spoke, she said that if we are boarding a plane in Philadelphia, the Real ID is acceptable. So my question is, what about if we're going to a state where that Real ID is not acceptable for the return flight? And you didn't go prepared. Just, I don't know. I was thinking about that.
No, I have to. I'm happy to clarify that. So in Pennsylvania, when you get your Real ID, it has the star on the card. You can fly anywhere in the United States from any airport. So you can fly out of Denver, Colorado, San Francisco, California, fly back to Philadelphia, to and from. It's all aircraft, domestic aircraft. It, however, does not get you out of the country. So it does not allow you to fly to Mexico, or it does not serve as a function of like a passport to go to Canada. It's only for domestic flights within the 50 states and territories. But it is good for all airports. So even though of Washington state, driver's license looks a little bit different, what is going to be consistent between all the states and territories is that gold star in the corner. That's going to let TSA know that that's a Real ID. That's why it's a simple gold star, and it's a quick visual cue that they can see when they're going to the security line.
Thanks, Director Baker. I had a sort of general question that I thought of, which is just, I know you've been through, you've been dealing with a number of different town halls and questions of this kind, and also, of course, the PennDOT has been helping process, these Real IDs over time. What, in your experience, I'd be curious to know what the most common pitfalls have been for real, and or can be for real ID applicants.
A big one is the not bringing proper documentation or all the documentation needed. We see a lot of the pitfalls with people will forget to bring their two proofs of residency. They'll only bring one. Another one is a Social Security proof that does not have the full 9 digits. There was a period of time where a lot of industries flipped to doing the X's across and only showing the last 4 digits of the Social Security number on their W-2s and pay stubs, and that's for security reasons. If you look further back into your documents, from the standpoint, if you pulled up a pay stub probably from 2018 or 17 or something like that, it will likely have all 9 digits showing. So if you have a portal at work or contact your HR department to say, I need a copy of the W-2 from 2018, as long as it's in your current legal name and it has those numbers on it, you're good to go. We do not have a freshness, meaning it has to be a W-2 issued last year or anything like that. It can be anything prior to that. I would say those are the big ones in the name change documents. People will bring in one marriage certificate and not the other ones. Another big thing is to highlight is that we do not accept divorce decrees. It does not, in divorce decrees, it typically shows Smith versus Smith. The only time we accept a divorce decree is if in that decree, you'll see at the bottom, usually it's the last page, that this individual will hereby resume their former legal name, and they'll spell out that former full legal name. That's considered to be a name change document because it's written in a legal document signed by a judge and it's a decree. But it blatantly states that they're resuming their former legal name, and it spells it out. So that's probably one of the larger pitfalls, is that you need to have it for each marriage, each name change to be able to bring with you so we can follow that process all the way through.
Got it. Thank you. Thank you so much. That all makes tons of sense, and I appreciate the response. I think it's helpful to our constituents for knowing, you know, what they, you know, the kind of thoroughness or just, you know, specifically what they should plan to bring in as they apply. Again, we are taking calls regarding Real ID with Director Sarah Baker from PennDOT, Director of the Real ID Bureau. Karen, I'd love to go to our next caller or next question if we've got one.
Yes. So we had several online questions come in before the call. So Anna Lee from South Philadelphia asked, I just got my driver license renewed last week, but I didn't know that I could get my Real ID at the same time. I don't have a passport. What should I do now? Do I have to pay another fee?
Good question, yes. What we'll end up doing is, even though she renewed last week, she will have to go in and bring in all of her documentation. She has to show all that document, the documents for identity and et cetera. She'll pay the one-time $30 fee, and then we'll do another renewal. So there are people out there who are walking around with a driver's license that are good for 7 years and 9 months, 10 months, that's how that process would work. The only thing we cannot do is exceed 8 years on the expiration date for the Real ID, but they can certainly walk away with the 7 years and 10 months if they choose to then opt in today.
Great. Thank you. And Karen, I'd love to go to our next question. You mentioned we had we had some online questions as well.
Yes. Albert from Hensport was asking, if my birth certificate lists a middle name that I never used, it doesn't appear on any of my state IDs, passport, or bills. Can I get the Real ID without it, or do I have to get a whole new birth certificate and have the middle name taken off?
So the way the Real ID regulation works is that we have to put on the Real ID the full legal name. So for the Real ID purposes of it, you would end up having that full legal name on it. If you have a first and last name on your Social Security card, that's fine. Same with your residency. But for the purpose of the Real ID part only, it would expand that full name out, so you would have first, middle, and last, and we have to do that by law. If you chose not to do that, you can have a legal name change done, performed, in which they will change your name to whatever you desire. Just needs to match the other documentation. But otherwise, your real ID will read that full legal name.
Thanks, Director Baker. Karen, let's go to our next question.
Jacqueline in Center City submitted, I've been married twice. After the first divorce, I changed my name back. But after the second marriage, I changed my name and didn't change it back after the marriage ended. What name change documents will I need to provide?
In that scenario, because I'm not sure how she changed her name back to her maiden name, if it was stated in a divorce decree or not, that she should bring in both marriage certificates because then we can see the name go through the process. So then we can see the first marriage, it go through that, and then we can see it go to the second one. And then what we'll end up doing is issuing it in her current legal name. So if she didn't change it, it'll be in her most recent legal name. And just to be sure, they have a Social Security card match with that, and as well as a 2 proofs of residency.
Thanks. Thanks to Jacqueline for that question. Karen, let's go to our next question.
Okay. Ryan from Fishtown submitted, I have limited mobility, and I've heard that the lines for PennDOT Real ID days are so long that people are waiting outside. Does PennDOT have plans to make long lines a little easier for people who are waiting?
Yes, that's the real ID days. That's the biggest thing to be able to take that throughput off, the amount of people coming in. The other one is I can't stress enough that if you're not planning on flying anytime soon, you don't have a trip on the books or anything like that, you can wait. It is not that we are going to stop issuing after May 7th. It is not something where you won't be able to get into any other facility or anything like that. This is really limited to that aircraft, military facilities, and the nuclear power plant type of scenario, that if you're not in a rush to do that, you can wait until this rush goes by and then get it at that time. So I do always want to tell people that, but it is not a deadline for Pennsylvania issuing real IDs on May 7th. It can certainly be after that date. So depending on what your needs are or what your lifestyle requires, and you travel frequently or something like that, you can assess personally on if you need to get it right now and go through those long lines, or can you wait longer and get it then later on after the date. Same thing if you have a passport. Do you really need it now, or do you want to wait until things calm down after that date? Because you can use that passport to gain access to aircraft. We just want to remind people to definitely take that with them. Put them on a list, a post-it note somewhere when you're packing, to say, take my passport with me until the lines go down. So it's an individual's choice how they want to do it, but that is something that can be done, and that does help with the line.
Thanks so much, Sarah. I think we've had a number of questions like that, concerns about the lines but I think that's reassuring and helpful on a number of fronts. I think we have time, Karen, for one last question, if we can go to our last question for the evening.
Okay. John in South Philly asks, thank you so much for doing this presentation. If I missed something or if a friend missed it and has a question, is there a way that we can listen again?
Well, go ahead, Sarah. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, please.
I was about to say that if we had someone who didn't get a chance to ask their question, you can please remain on the line, and you'll be able to leave your question in a voicemail for me and get back to you. Or if you have additional questions or concerns, you can call our office at 267-668-3550 or visit our website, pasenatorsdeval.com. So with that, I wanted to just ask Sarah, first of all, thank you so much. I think it's been a super helpful discussion, and I know you've been doing you know, supporting events like this throughout, you know, in throughout Pennsylvania, frankly. And so I really want to thank you for providing this information to our constituents in the 1st Senate District. If people would like to contact you, you know, contact PennDOT directly with specific questions, what's the best way for them to do that?
Definitely, if you go to our call center, you can call that, and the message is they have a whole host of responses that are frequently asked and answered. That's the number is 717-412-5300. And if it gets to be something that's more complex, they will send it to us separately, but then also for sure go through your district office, through the senator's office, and if it's something like that or regarding documents, we work with everyone very closely to go to work on getting you through that process. Our goal is also to find a way to get you a real ID, so we're always open to figuring out different scenarios and how we can help you obtain the documents in the best way we can. But it's also to allay fears that people aren't under the impression they have to do it right now. So by all means, those are the two different ways that you can contact us easily, and we're happy to work with you and with the senator's office anytime.
Terrific. Thank you, Sarah. And again, I want to reiterate something you said. We are we work closely with PennDOT, with you, with PennDOT generally. We are happy to you know, to help it if and when you work out your application for Real ID. And so, you know, we're excited to be part of this and to help people with anything they might need as they prepare their application. So as we bring this evening to a close, I want to thank everyone for participating in our telephone town hall discussion, to those who listened in and to those who asked questions and gave us suggestions. And before we close, I just want to mention a few additional events that my office is hosting. Tomorrow, April 4th, we'll be having mobile office hours at the South Philadelphia Older Adult Center at 1430 East Passyunk Avenue from 9 a.m. to noon. A couple weeks after that, on Wednesday, April 16th, we'll be at the Fishtown Community Library from 1 to 4 p.m. And the following day, Thursday, April 17th, we'll be at Lutheran Settlement House from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. If you're in those areas, please come on out to say hi or reach constituent services right in your own community. And coming up next month, on May 10th, we're hosting a shredding event at South Philadelphia High with Representative Elizabeth Fiedler and Representative Regina Young. And on May 17th, we'll be hosting a shredding event at Ludlow School with Representative Malcolm Kenyatta. Like I said, if you didn't have a chance to ask your question about Real ID this evening, please remain on the line. You'll be able to leave your question on a voicemail for me, and we'll get back to you. And if you have any additional questions or concerns, please call my office at 267-668-3550 or visit my website, pasenatorsaval.com. Thanks again, Director Sarah Baker, for all your help. Thank you to all of my constituents who joined us, and good night.
Thank you. Night.